Praise God. We are honored to have Pastor Mrs. Afolabi in the house. It's good to see her face after such a long time. It's because I knew she wouldn't like it. I would have told her to come and sit beside me, but praise God. Welcome, Ma. Praise God. The Rise of Kingdom Giants, Part 7. Rise of Kingdom Giants. And today we are looking at Thanksgiving. How do Kingdom Giants rise? Thanksgiving. In life, we must always be conscious to keep a grateful heart, especially to God. We must always be conscious to keep a grateful heart to God. The world we live in is filled with people. The will or the crave to always want more, to always want more, to always want more, to never be satisfied with what you have, to never be satisfied with the level you are in. As much as that in itself is not a bad thing, you have to make sure that in every process and in every timeline we find ourselves, we keep a grateful heart. Because that is one thing that has shortchanged a lot of people from rising in life. Rejoicing, being thankful always in everything. It is very important. And as believers, that is something that we must keep in front of us constantly. When we see things, when we don't see things. In fact, the clear evidence of your faith is that you are thankful. The clear evidence of your faith, one of the major works of faith, is that you are always thankful. Even when you have not seen that thing. On Wednesday, we looked at Ephesians, and the Bible said, you know, God has given us all things, all spiritual things. In who? In Christ, in heavenly places. Everything has been given to us. A recognition and a consciousness of that will always make us have, or will always will always cause us to be grateful to God. Always. Always. Praise God. So the world generally has a mindset of ingratitude to God, to humans, to everything and every system that you find yourself. It is natural in the world because nothing in the world is meant to last forever. In fact, in the world, everything you get, you soon get tired of it. Right? Anything, no matter what it is, a relationship, both material things or even superficial things. You are in a relationship. When you first of all started, sparks were flying up and down. The fire was burning. After a while, not that the sparks won't continue, but after a while, all that, you know, when you watch films and you see fireworks, it's not always like that too. Praise God. After a while, all those, okay, what keeps you going is this deep-seated commitment you have made and love that has grown for that person. And that is why truly no relationship that is not founded from the love of God can ever really have a good foundation. Because nothing in this world is meant to stand. It's meant to last forever. You get something now. You're excited. Has that ever happened to you? You wanted to get something. You prayed about it. You saved up for it. Then you eventually got that thing. After a while, what happens? You start complaining about that same thing that you were practically praying and fasting for. Praise God. It's the way. It's the way of the flesh. It's the way of the world. Okay? Praise God. You are single. Practical examples. You are single. You want to get a job. Then you eventually, you pray, and then God gets you the job. Then it's complain. When your boss starts showing you, when one or two things start happening. You want to go and serve. Then they now post you to a place like Kebbi. Praise God. Then you begin to complain. Oh, you want to get married. Then you get married and you pray at times that you were single. You want to have children. Then you have children at times. You have to say, please, just pack them and go. Let me rest. Let me have. It's just the way of the world. Nothing in this world that we get is meant to last or give everlasting joy. It is God's love that helps us keep those things in place. Because that is why you wonder, why do people do the things they do? So that is why we must understand that keeping a grateful heart, a thankful heart, is very important. And it is not just a one-off experience. It's not just when you come to church and they said, let us worship God. It has to become an attitude. It has to become an attitude. An attitude that no matter where you find yourself, no matter what you are doing, you are grateful to God. Grateful to God. So that is why when we see people like Joseph in the Bible, we wonder, with all the things Joseph went through betrayal. He was, you know, he was sold as a slave. He was humiliated. He was lied on. Everything that you can think of, somebody like Joseph went through it. But you wonder, what kept a 17-year-old boy to the point that, what kept him, what made him have that, irrespective of all he was going through, what made him have such a positive disposition to life that even 13 years later, when he was to see his siblings, he didn't use it as an opportunity to show off. He was thankful to God. He said, it was God that made you sell me because of a time like this. That is an attitude. So after he was sold, he was carried to Egypt. And then he was in Potiphar's house. And he was doing fairly okay in Potiphar's house. Then the wife of Potiphar all wanted to entice him. He refused. Now, in that situation, listen, when people talk, you know the state of their mind. When Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with Joseph, what did Joseph say? He said, how can I do this? Against who first? Against God. And then my master, he said, my master gave me everything in this house except you. So you are wondering, why should a boy that was sold to slavery, who had a dream, a boy who said God revealed something to him, God showed him that he was going to be a great man, and then immediately after that, everything came nosediving. And then now he is here, far away from home. His father does not know where he is. He's been humiliated. He's been used as a slave. And he has an opportunity. An opportunity that some people will say, is it not God that brought this opportunity so that you would rise? He still said, how can I do this against God? He meant he had an attitude of thanksgiving. That irrespective, probably when they were coming, a lot of people died on the road before they got to the slave market. Probably when they got to the slave market, a lot of wicked people bought the other slaves. He was still thankful. And the Bible, in that particular verse, called Joseph a prosperous man. A man that was a slave. God called Joseph a prosperous man. Not because of the things he had in his pocket, because of the disposition of his spirit. We must always be thankful. Thanksgiving is important in our rise in this kingdom. Praise God. So you see people all out in the Bible, people that made it, one thing they had is that spirit of thanksgiving. When we are not grateful, when ingratitude starts to steep in, things like envy, things like depression comes in. Praise God. When you begin to ask yourself, why is it that I am the one that is here and this other person is there? That is what ingratitude brings. It brings comparisms. Then you begin to wonder, why is it that sister so-so-so or brother so-so-so seems to have it all together? And most of the time, you don't even know the situation on ground. It is only what you see on the outside. What you feel you don't have and somebody else has. You begin to point and say, why is it that God has done this for this person and has not done this for me? And that makes you lose sight of the good things that God has given to you. And it makes you begin to get angry with God and not appreciate even your own life. I've heard people talk, you know, they just always talk, this person, and I wonder, can't you see that you are blessed? That is what ingratitude does. It blinds your eyes from seeing the blessings that God has put in front of you, or God has put inside of you. So you see a beautiful lady, well dressed, very beautiful, But she's still envying the other person. And the other person does not even have up to what she has. But because she, in a part of her mind, feels this person is better off. And really, as she begins to see herself as less, she begins to look less. It cuts across everything in life. Being content is very important as we strive for better things. We must be content. So why did God give this person a voice and me, I cannot sing? Why did God give this person ability to dance and me, I cannot dance? There is something that you have that God has given to you. In this race, we are not running to overtake each other. We all have our lane. It is gratitude that will help you push forward. Praise God. Yes, does the Bible talk about coveting gifts? Yes, but not to the point of ingratitude or being jealous of somebody else. There's a very thin line. Very thin line. Oh God, why me? Oh God, why me? Oh God, why me? My mate. There is nobody that is your mate. When you came to this world, you came alone. You will go alone. Nobody is your mate. When we have this at the back of our minds, it will help us push forward first in the kingdom of God and in everything that concerns us. We also see a man like David in the Bible. David was a man who was, when he started off, he was in the wilderness. If you check out other stories, praise God, are we together? If you check out other stories in the Bible of siblings, you will find out, for example, Joseph. Joseph was in the field with his brothers. Okay, that means that his brothers were, or the time when they sold him, the father sent him to go and give his brothers what? Food, right? So naturally, in the order of things, the oldest brothers or the oldest siblings are the ones that are supposed to be taking care of the sheep. But in David's position or situation, it was the opposite. In fact, when Samuel came, they couldn't even remember that David was a son. His case was pathetic. Your own father did not even remember that he had a whole human being as a son. A whole human being. He was 17 at the point. So it wasn't like he was so small that he was insignificant. David was so insignificant that when somebody as important as Samuel was coming and he gave a prior notice, the father didn't deem it fit. He was a non-entity in their minds. So David could have been in the wilderness sulking, saying, see this stupid man. How he just put me here with sheep when my siblings, my elder brothers, are enjoying in the house. Even when he knew that Samuel was coming, he stayed in the wilderness. But he was somebody with a grateful heart. Because you would hear his testimonies later. He said, oh, when the lion came, the same sheep of the father that neglected him. When the lion came, he said, I ran after the lion and took the sheep from his mouth. When the bear came, I ran after the bear and did what? Took the sheep. But normally you should be wondering, if David's father treated him like that, then David should do what? In fact, he should be killing the sheep. You know, some of us would say, in fact, Shebi, he has put me here. Lions, come and eat. Bear, come and eat. Shebi is not my property. He's making me suffer. Praise God. Yes, we can relate with that, right? We feel like that at times. Shebi, he has punished me, so I'll punish him. When the lion comes, let him eat all of them. If I come and take everything. If the lion is going to say, come back, there's more. But when he was there, because he was grateful for life, he was grateful for where he was, he would still save the sheep. He would run, endanger his life to make sure that he kept his father's things. That thing was not a natural response. It was an attitude of thanksgiving. And that is why God jumped all his brothers to pick him. That is a dumb giant. Somebody who would rise. Who is always grateful. When there is little, he's grateful. When there is much, he's grateful. What he has or does not have is not the definition of his identity. God is the definition. So as much as we aspire for good things, we have to learn to enjoy every process we find ourselves. Over the weekend, I reconnected with a friend that you know, we had not seen since school days, for like 14 years now. We were connected and we started catching up. And yesterday, I was just going over the charts because I was just, you know, trying to catch up on the years. And it was as if I was reading a book. At the point, I said, wow, is this my life? As in, when I started looking at the things God helped me and delivered me from, when I started remembering times when I actually fainted and I knew I had seen the gates of heaven. I don't know whether it was hell because I wasn't born again then. It was Shah White. And I remember it came back. And I said, wow. And I look at my life and I'm like, just in the space of how many years, see the different things that I can count, the ones I can count that God has done for me. And I just took a time to reflect. I was like, God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Because a lot of people have not even gone through what I have gone through. And they are nowhere to be found. At times, we need to do that. Not even at times. We need to do that regularly. So that we don't get carried away with the crave of, I want more, I want more. And forget that God is good. He is. And He is good to you. You see it or not. The issue is that the more of God you will see is the revelation you can have now. God is good. Oh, I should be here by now. Oh, I should have done this by now. Oh, I should have achieved this by now. By whose timeline? God is good. And we should always put that at the back of our minds. Let's open our Bibles to Romans 12, verse 12. Romans 12. As I'm speaking, I'm sure some of us will be remembering, like, hey, I remember this time. I remember when I didn't have money for school fees. I remember when God came through for me. I remember when I was sick and I almost died. I remember when I was looking for God to do so thing for me. He says what? Rejoicing in what? In hope. What is hope? Hope is not something you have seen. Right? It's something you are still what? You are still expecting. It's something you are still desiring. But he says, while you are waiting for that, what should you do? Rejoice. Rejoicing in hope. Oh, this thing is not here yet. Instead of being depressed and being moody about it, what do? I rejoice. Because really, everything that I hope for, God has given to me. It is just a matter of time. It will come. Because when we give in to ingratitude, when we give in to lack of thanksgiving, we give the enemy an avenue to enter our lives. And what does he do? When he enters our lives, this is one thing he's always after. This hope. Because even faith relies on hope. So if there's no hope, what happens? If there's no hope, what happens? You can't have it. There is nothing to hold on to. It says, while we are in hope, what is it? We should rejoice. Patient in tribulation. Continually instant in prayer. But one thing that you must do through it all is what? Rejoicing. Being thankful. Even when you don't see it. When people are asking, why are you so happy? What is it? It is a deep-seated joy. It comes from my spirit. It is not from what I have or what I don't have. I keep saying it. The definition of who you are is not what you wear. It's not the job you have. It is not your marital status. The definition of who you are is in Christ. Once that is in front of you, all those other things will do what? It will gravitate towards you. Let's check 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. Rejoicing. Rejoicing. Rejoicing with the promise. Rejoicing with God's word. He says what? Rejoice what? Only when things are with you. Only when you get your heart desires. He says rejoice forevermore. What about 18? He says in what? Does it say for everything? What is the difference between in and for? It is not God that brings bad situations your way. God does not steal. He does not kill. And He does not destroy. God has nothing to do with sin. In fact, the Bible says that why do we sin? We are carried away by our own lust, our own desires. It's not God that brings sin. It's not God that brings sickness. It's not God that brings poverty. Okay, but it says irrespective of whatever situation you are in this point, what should we do? In everything,
give thanks.
It didn't say keep quiet. Thanks is something you give. Rejoicing is something we will see. Have you ever seen somebody happy and you won't know the person is happy? Has it ever? Has it? I'm happy. Oh. I'm happy. In fact, for you to say I'm happy, it means you're actually not happy. Because you don't have to tell me you are happy for me to know you are happy. If somebody was to win something now, $10 million, the way you enter church this evening will be this morning will be different. This is how you enter church. In fact, you will come late so that everybody will know that, yes. Something will just change in your attitude, right? You might not, your countenance will change. You might still wear the same clothes, though. Do you understand? But when you come in, some of you are like, what happened? Why are you? You'll just be shining. Even if they don't say a joke, you just... I was like, are you... What's up now? God is good. God is good. God is good. Okay, bro, share this. Share this, God. Oh, my brother. God is good. Even the baritone in your voice will change. God is good. You put the God. God is good. People will naturally, and everybody naturally gravitates towards a happy person. Everybody always gravitates to a joyful person. Okay, the Bible says with joy, you will do what? You will draw from the wells of salvation. With joy. Joy is, the Holy Spirit brings joy. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring moodiness or anything that always wants to make you unhappy about a particular situation or at times, what's wrong with you? I don't know. Why are you saying? I don't know. It's not of God. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, every situation, you have, give thanks. You don't have, give thanks. You are yet to have, give thanks. Be grateful. You will see that even your heart will be, it will be sweet in you. Life will just be, yes, enjoyable. You know, I was talking to somebody. I said, you're always so serious. You're always analyzing everything. Why is this like this, like this? Why is this pulpit placed in this place? Why is it placed at this angle? I said, oh God, enjoy life. I see. Don't kill yourself. I said, just learn to be happy and rejoice and give thanks. If the pulpit is there, thank God for it. Must you know why is it at this angle? Why is it made like this? There are people like that. Maybe temperament. But Bible has told us, give thanks. It is something you give. Did it say in everything God will come and help you to give thanks, or God will send the Holy Spirit or the angels to allow you to be able to give thanks? Is that what it said? Maybe you should check Amplified. Please give me Amplified. Give me Amplified. For the other scriptures, just give me Amplified too. Thank God in everything. No matter, please let's read together. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be what? Thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. Are you in Christ Jesus? He says this is the will of God for you. It is to always be grateful, to always give thanks. Because in the midst of that, God is working. He's always working. You see it, you don't see it, He's working. So why become fagged out over something you cannot even affect? When you have prayed with prayer and what? Thanksgiving. Make your request known and leave it. God Himself will carry it on His head. We see Abraham. He waited how many years for a promise? It is only thanksgiving that can help you stay that long to get the manifestation of a blessing. Thanksgiving. Let's check Hebrews 13 verse 15. Just two scriptures. Then we go to Psalm 103. Amplify it, please. Then we'll take some time to thank God. Okay, Hebrews 13 verse 15. It says, through Him therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer what? Offer up to God a what? A sacrifice of what? Which is what? That... acknowledge and confess and glorify what? His name. We don't give sacrifices anymore. The sacrifices in the Old Testament, sacrifice of the praise offering, the wave offering, of all the offerings, Christ has abolished that. But there's one sacrifice he demands of us, and that is a sacrifice of praise. And that sacrifice of praise is dependent. The foundation of that sacrifice of praise is what Christ has done. What Christ said on the cross, it is finished. That is what brings up and spurs this sacrifice of praise. And this sacrifice of praise is something you give. It is what? The fruit of what? Our lips. So from the way you talk, I can know if you are a grateful person or not. I can know. That thankfully what? Acknowledge and confess and glorify his name in everything that we do. Let's open to Psalm 103. We quickly look at five things in Psalm 103 that God has done for us. When we build this consciousness, we will learn to be thankful for our lives. We will learn to thank God for the people around us. We will learn to thank God for friends. We will learn to thank God for men and women, for our work, for everything that we have around us. Because all those things that are around us are there to make us and to build us up. So I've heard people say, you know, what happened between you and I've been hurt in the past. People have friends can be very bad, and because of that, you know, I don't intend to have anybody in my life again. That's not a grateful attitude, because there's a proverb that says, when you bath a baby, do you pour the water away with the baby? As in, the thing is so dirty, the bath water and the baby, you just throw it out. Then that means you have to be giving birth every day, because every day you wake up, you bath, and then you throw away. So just because you've had one or two or three or four hurts does not mean you totally, you know, lock out the whole scenario of friendship. You'll be the one losing out. You'll be the one losing out. So in everything, through the hurts, through the pain, you learn, you get up, you learn from it, you become better, and you are thankful to God. So let's check Psalm 103, verse 1. It says, it says affectionately. Can you see it? Affectionately. The only person we usually use affectionately for what? For is who? Mm-hmm. Some people are very smiling. It says bless. What does this bless mean? It says to be affectionately grateful praise. Not the one you just give because the tongues is rolling. Let me just, as in, you are thinking about it and you are deeply grateful. That is what it means to affectionate. The way you would look, you know, all those films you used to watch and all those fantasies some of us used to have. Amen. I did not call your name. You know, fantasies of when you are in front of the minister, you're in your white gown, and he looks into your eyes and you can see the love burning. Amen. The brothers might not have that. The brothers might probably be thinking, how much is the hug? And how much is the cake? And this suit, have I finished paying for it? And the cow. At the hotel we are going to sleep in, how much? But the girl is over there, then he will say the poem, then I'll say the love oozing out from his eyes. Praise God. See, Rebecca, you are smiling. you know. I know now. So don't even me now. I know. Praise God. So he says what? Affectionate. Even we want people to, if you are in my house, you know now, when maybe my husband asked me, I'll say, that you didn't do that well. You should say it with emotions. I'm trying to make you romantic. Don't just say, you say it with emotions. So it's not just to say, we want to feel it. Praise God. Now, I'm saying, if you want to do that, God also wants it. So don't just give me lip service. Don't just say, I'm just praising, just as in deep, think deep. And you will know that God has been good. If you really do think deep, there is nobody here that if I give you a mic and say you should think deep and think about your life, even the little things that we count as normal, it's not normal. You go on a trip and come back, it is not normal, especially in our country at a time like this. Nothing is normal. And you are protected. You sleep and wake up. Okay? An alarm even woke you up. Some people have put on alarms and they never woke up. I'm not going to start telling you here, you are not in the hospital. Some people, there are daily things that you should be grateful for. They are. Without somebody having to even tell you. For the fact that you are alive and there is hope. Oh, I've not entered school. Oh, I've not done. Be grateful. It says, bless affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, gratefully praise Him. Be grateful. Because God actually sees your heart when you are giving Him praise. We might see you crying and lifting up holy hands. God sees your heart. If you are crying, and the reason for your tears is different from what we think is, it might be something different. Right? You might be wondering, oh, why is this guy just standing beside me? God, can't he just see me? Praise God. I didn't say anything. It says, affectionately, gratefully, praise the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is deepest within me. Bless His holy name. When we are giving thanks, it's not something we do superficially or we just say. From the depth of our hearts, we put everything. So I don't have to cite you to bless God. You know what God has done in your life. You know the prayers He has answered. And the prayers He has answered is an indication that He will yet answer others. Really, if you have been sick once and God has healed you, either you use drugs or you use faith, but you have been healed. It is an indication that when another one comes, God is still there. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It does not change. It does not change. Verse 2. Media. Okay. Bless, affectionately, gratefully, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And do what? While we are praising Him, forget not His benefits. Forget not one. If you were to sit down, if I give you a whole foolscap sheet or a whole higher education, do you know if you start writing everything that God has done for you, you will exhaust it. You will. In your own life, you will. It says, forget not. As you are blessing Him, remember His faithfulness. Remember His preservation. Remember how He has been good to you. You might not be there yet. You might still desire this and that, but forget not what He has done. Oh, you might have wanted the bigger one, but you still have one. Be grateful for it. Oh, this is a trick that a lot of us don't understand. So there was somebody that was looking for a job in a particular place once. A big place. And she came to meet me and said, oh, ma, I'm looking for a job, blah, 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 blah. And we agreed together. She was looking for a particular position. But when the job came, they didn't give her that position she was looking for. They gave her like a step lower than that position. And a step lower also means that, it's not the pay she was expecting. I did not know she had gotten the job. She didn't test. She didn't even tell me anything. She just started complaining. It was from somebody I heard that she had gotten the job. So when I called, I was like, did you get this job? She said, not the one. Did you get it? Not the one I was. Well, is it the same office? Yes. Are you seeing the guy face to face? Yes. But are you around that place? Yes. But that one I wanted, gone. They did not give me. I said, Jesus. Even me, I had to say, Jesus. You know, I was like, are you okay? You were not even close. As in all the people that were interviewed, there were so many things against you. Number one, you were the only Christian. Number two, you know them, when it comes to things, they're always very guarded. I won't tell you because if I tell you the position, you might understand one. It's a very difficult place to crack into. But you were able to enter there. But because of what? Short-sightedness and lack of gratefulness. She eventually left the job, complaining from day one. And I laughed at her. The people are so blinded that at times you don't see what God has put in your hands. Why don't you just stay there? You don't know what... You can imagine Esther. They said, oh, all the queens, they were bringing all... And then she stayed in her house and said, favor is on my head. You know, favor is on my head. And she stayed in the house with Mordecai. And she didn't go to where the others were. And she didn't do all the treatments that others were doing. Yes, she was favored. But she went through the process. In fact, history has it that it took her 4 years. As in, people were going... It took her 4 years before she could stand before the king. To tell you how many women were there. Okay, he says, oh my soul, and forget not one of his benefits. Meaning that if he has done it before, he will do it again. Okay? Verse 3. Who does what? He starts listing some of the benefits. And number one he has given us is what? Who forgives every one of all your iniquities. That is the number one priority. Even if you feel that there's nothing to be grateful for, that God forgives. You see, it's not he has forgiven. He has forgiven, but he's still forgiven every one of our iniquities. If we were to measure ourselves by what we do or do not do, we will not even be able to stand before God. But God's forgiveness is there waiting for us. That is something to always be grateful for. That is why we can be called his children. Because he always forgives us of our iniquities. That's number one thing. Number one benefit. He forgives all our sins and iniquities. Forgives all our sins and iniquities. You also see Acts 13. Because of time, just go to Acts 13, 38. And Ephesians 1, 7. You can read that up. Okay, he forgives us all our iniquities. Before we became born again, sin held us down. Okay, Acts 13, 38. So let it be clearly known and understood by you, brethren, that through this man, forgiveness and what? Not just forgiveness, it has been what? Removed. If you're in this morning, if you're in school of the word, this is what we dealt with. And removal of sins is now what? Proclaimed to you. So we have not just been forgiven, the whole sin package has been removed. And that is something to always be grateful for. That we are no longer bound on that sin. We are no longer directed and manipulated by the nature of sin. Christ, God has forgiven us. Number two, back to Psalm 103. It says, he heals all our diseases and sicknesses. Back to Psalm 103. Okay, who heals every one of us of all our what? Diseases. Has there been any time you have been sick before? Okay, and either supernaturally or through drugs, you were healed. Okay, so it is God that has healed us of all our sicknesses. And 1 Peter 2, verse 24. God has healed us of all our sicknesses and diseases. One major thing that sin brought, it brought poverty, it brought sickness. And those are things, that is the bond that Christ has broken. Okay, he personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree, as on an altar, and offered himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist to what? To sin, and live to righteousness. By his what? Wounds. Ye have what? Been healed. Ye are healed, or ye have been healed. We have been healed. There is health, divine health in God. Number three, if you think there is nothing to thank God for, I'm giving you reasons. Okay? Number three, that's Psalm 103 verse. It says, who redeems what? Who redeems your life from what? From the pit and corruption. In King James, it says, he redeems your life from destruction. That was the place we were headed for. That was where we were. We're not just headed for it. We were partly in destruction. But God redeemed us from destruction. And he constantly redeems us from destruction. Every day you wake up, the devil, you are the target of the devil. He targets to bring destruction. He targets to bring sickness. He aims to steal and to kill and to destroy. But God always does what? Redeems us. He has redeemed our lives from destruction. You see that in also 1 Peter 2, verse 9b. Number four. Okay. After he redeemed. No, go back. Okay. He redeemed. Who beautifies, dignifies, and does what? And crowns you with what? Loving kindness and tender mercies. So he crowns us with what? Loving kindness and what? Tender mercies. What does a crown do? Somebody can be a king, but a crown is a symbol, is something that you use to identify that this person is different, right? A crown, what sort of crown? Any sort of crown placed. And that is why it is always placed on the head. So that whenever you see the person, you will know and identify that this person is different. That is why he didn't say that he wore it as shoes. He said what? He put it where? On our heads. So what is constantly reflecting over our lives? It is his loving kindness and tender mercy.
Kindness itself is loving, but they emphasize it by telling us what? That God's mercy, kindness is what? Loving kindness. And his mercies are what? Tender. Mercies naturally are tender, but they now overemphasize it by telling that God's mercies are what? Tender. So when people see you, these are the two things that define you. His tender mercies and his loving kindness. And you can testify of that in your life. That it is not by what you have done or what you have been doing. It has always been these two things that God has been reaching out to us. Praise God. Because if we were to walk right all the things that according to how we have been living, we know that we are nowhere close. Praise God. But these two things have been keeping us. And that is what he has crowned us with. That is what is sitting on our heads and radiates through our lives. Number five. God does what? He satisfies our mouth, our necessity and desire at your personal age and situation. With what? With good. So that your youth is renewed. Your youth renewed is like the eagle, strong, overwhelming. Sorry. So why does it satisfy us? So that we can be what? Renewed constantly. He is the one that does it. Whether you do right or you don't do right, he is committed to doing these things. To satisfying you. Satisfying you is to give you something to the full. Till you say you are what? You don't want anymore. Till you say the thing is paining me. Like somebody did for Adasa over the weekend. She didn't want, Adasa said, the children said they were hungry and she didn't want them to disturb her. So she went to load them with food. After they were loaded, she said, my stomach. That is being satisfied. They had to go and lie down. My stomach. I ate too much. Auntie so packed it for us. Just gave them. And they kept eating. And they were full. And the stomach showed that they were full. So this the same way God fills us up. He feels, do you know that people can eat so much that they begin to vomit? I have seen it before. The day I saw it, I was really pissed off. We went somewhere with another lady, a younger lady. And when we went there, there was different, another kind of place where you have different kind of foods, like just go and eat. Ah, guys, it's not good. Me, I know myself, JJ, I just ate small and let. She ate rice. There was jollof rice, there was fried rice, chicken, coleslaw, then there was pounded yam. After she had eaten the rice, me, I ate the rice, took drink, I was okay. I don't want to do more than myself. After that, she said, pounded jam, you know, pounded jam will spoil if you leave it till the next day. So you are the one that knows that pounded jam will spoil. So she ate that one too. Oh God, it was terrible. The last swallow she took, brought out, everything came out. That was being, as I'm sure like the pounded jam was already like here. So once she just pushed that one, everything just said, oh no, that is being full to the brim. So God says what? He satisfies us. It is as much as you want. Okay? We all eat different sizes of it. As much as you expect. God works according to our expectation. He satisfies our mouth. So you don't expect what miracle we eat is what freedom we eat. You don't expect it. When some people are eating just maybe one wrap of fufu, some people are going 5, 10, and they are still saying they're just starting. It has not reached the gate. Some people are, when some people are cooking half cup of rice, some people are cooking and they sit down and they will finish it and they say God is good. And when they stand up, you won't even know anything happened to them. Some people, when they eat that, they can't even stand up again. So it is as much as you desire. That's why he says it satisfies your mouth. God is so much that it is what you want that he gives to you. Praise God. It is as much as you expect and desire that he feels. He says, your necessity and your desire at your personal agency, in every situation, God satisfies you. And did you know the thing with satisfaction? God knows what you need. He doesn't necessarily give you what you want. He gives you what you need. And that's what he satisfies you with. He said so that your youth is what? Renewed like an eagle. And one major thing that that God gives as satisfaction is the Holy Ghost. Because that is what the new believer needs. When Jesus was speaking, he said, you being natural men, you know how to give your gifts, what? Your children, what? Good gifts. He said, how much more your Father? How much will he withhold the Holy Spirit from you? So God's gift to us, God's major form of satisfaction is the Holy Spirit. And the more we fellowship with Him, He does what? He fills us up. So a grateful heart helps us to, you know, to see our testimonies before they even manifest. We should always learn to reflect on God's goodness, okay, and have a thankful attitude in life, an attitude of thanksgiving. Some of us have this. I've been trying to remember the name of this attitude since my I can't seem to remember it. But you know, this attitude of I deserve it. Everywhere you go, you believe that people should always entitlement. Thank you. I know I'll get that word. Entitlement mentality. Where you just feel that everything should just be about you. I go here, people must do this thing for me. You never break out to do anything for anybody. You just always believe that you are entitled to this thing. So it must be done. So it is only when you want something that you are all... Once you don't want it, you are stuck up. That's not a grateful heart. And you give yourself the excuse that maybe it is because of this or... No. That is an entitlement spirit. It's an ungrateful heart towards God. And when you are ungrateful, it is not God that will limit or take things away. You yourself, you will block yourself from being able to receive from God. Because even natural human beings, I'm not comparing us to God, but I'm just saying what thanksgiving does. When somebody gives you something and you are really appreciative of that thing, when another thing comes another time, the person will quickly remember you, right? Remember that, this person that did this thing, I'll remember the person. But when somebody does something, no matter how little it is, nobody owes you anything in life. Not even your parents. Amen? Not your parents. They owe me this thing. They didn't do this thing for me. I don't know people without parents who lost parents and they still lived and survived. In everything, in that situation, do you still see God's love? Even if the so-called parents were not there, can you open your eyes and still see? And if you always see, God always makes people available for you in those situations. But you are so, at times you are so blinded by ingratitude, we can't even see it. So different things. Even this one, even that one. Entitlement spirit, where you feel that everywhere things should just gravitate towards you. No. A grateful heart gives. First thing, gives thanks to God. So enjoy the process of growth. Enjoy every situation you find yourself. Some people are single now. All their eyes are so much on marriage. You're not even enjoying your singlehood. Enjoy it. It is a process. It will pass. Be grateful for where you are now. You might never come to that point again. And enjoy it as you grow. So remember, things don't define you. What you have or what you don't have is not the definition of your personality. God's word is. And as God's word said, He has provided all. Yes, He has provided all. What we have to do is do what? Align and be conscious of it. So I want you to bow your heads this morning. Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. The next couple of minutes, I want us to focus. Close your eyes. Don't let anything distract you. This is another year. We have come almost to the middle of the year. There are still so many countries being ravaged with coronavirus. There are still so many things happening around us. Oh, there are still so many people begging for what you have. So bless the Lord. And I want this to well up from inside of you. You can take a minute and think, reminisce. Oh, I remember His faithfulness. Oh, God has been faithful. Has He done it before? Yes. He will do it again. Has He done it for somebody? Yes. He will do yours. Hey, but I refuse to be sad about this. I refuse to allow this thing define my life. I choose to be grateful.
out your heart in thanksgiving. Pour out your heart in thanksgiving. In your spiritual walk, pour out your heart in thanksgiving. Oh, even what you think you have not attained, some still desire they will be where you are. For your family, pour out your heart in thanksgiving. Oh, be sincere and say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name. Reflect, reflect. Close your eyes and reflect. Don't let anybody. Oh, remember those times. Remember those times. Oh, even remember your imperfections now, and he still remains faithful. Oh, I still did this yesterday, but he still remains faithful. He has not cast me away. Oh, so many times I did things to grieve him, but he still remains faithful. Oh, these things I am hoping for, he still remains faithful. He remains faithful to me. He remains faithful to me. I needed house rent, then he provided it. Even not all, he gave me part of it. Nothing happens by coincidence for a believer. Nothing. I desired that job, he gave it to me. I'm looking for a bigger one, but I have one now. I have food on my table, I have clothes on my back. I looked for a place to worship God, and he brought me to GFC. I am grateful for that. Oh, I am grateful for my life. I am grateful for my family. I am grateful for my children. I might not have this, but I am grateful for what I have. Look at the things you have. See his faithfulness. He has been satisfying your mouth and satisfying your necessities. He has been renewing your strength, because where there is life, there is hope. Where there is life, there is hope. Bless his name. Bless his name.